Join me, please, in the reading of God's Word. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the 12th chapter. John 12, reading the 27th through the 32nd verses, page 1133 in your Scofield Reference Bible, 1133. We'll read these verses responsively. Once again, verses 27 through 32 of John's 12th chapter. As is our custom to do, may we all please stand for the reading of God's Word. Note, please, the 31st and 32nd verses. Those are the text verses. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And let's pray. Father, it's good to be here. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you that you've brought many guests to be with us, to meet with us, to mingle praise and gratitude with us for this day, for souls. And God bless in the service, bless with thy power, bless our preacher, and help us to give attention to everything that's said in this place, at this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, of necessity, the morning service is shorter. The morning message is shorter than the evening message. Sunday mornings, I usually preach about 30 to 35 minutes. Sunday night, I usually preach forever. But we have to be very still and quiet. I'm going to ask that nobody leave the service while I'm preaching now. And the ushers, let no one in. While I'm preaching, we have and you folks out in the hallways now, be very quiet. Do not talk any more in the hallways than you would if you were in here, because the folks there need to hear also. You folks upstairs in the watching on closed circuit television over the hallways and back up here, by all means, be very attentive. And enter into the service just as if you were here on the main floor in the main auditorium with us. We read a while ago these words, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And what causes that? The answer is in verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to speak this morning on the subject, just these three words, lift him up. Lift him up. Heavenly Father, my Father and my God, and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the one who made the promise of the Holy Spirit who is in us and who often doth empower us, bless thou this service today. Our Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help me to be faithful as best I can to lifting you. Holy Spirit, be thou my power in these moments, and give me, I pray, the attentiveness of all the people, and may I be very attentive to your leadings. I promise you'll tell me what to say, I'll say it. If I had planned to say something today that I shouldn't say, please help me to forget it. If there's something I ought to say I have not planned to say, please remind me of it. And I pray that both preacher and hearer shall speak and hear as unto eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, Brother Jim Lyons, who was at that time my associate pastor, was talking about one of our young men who had gone out in the ministry and had, in as far as men count success, had failed. And Brother Jim said, Preacher, how could he have been here all those years and not found out the secret to the work of God? And I said, well, Brother Jim, have you found it out? And he said, yes. I said, what is the secret to the work here? But he said, it's easy. I said, what is it? But he said, it's obvious. I said, if it's obvious, what is it? But he said, everybody here knows. I said, what is it? And he said, I've got the foggiest idea. And I don't either, to be honest with you. We'll spend an entire week this week trying to tell people from all over the world what the secret is. And I'll be honest, I haven't got the foggiest idea. I often, as I've said so often here, I often get a little disappointed about myself and a little concerned about some particular phase of my own self. And I decide to roll myself into surgery and take for example, my stubbornness. I'm not stubborn. Folks think I am. The truth is, I'm just always right, and folks sometimes mistake that for being stubborn. But I sometimes roll myself into the operating room and get the scalpel out and open myself up, and I'm gonna take out the stubbornness. And then I notice that sometimes the stubbornness is hooked on to the conviction. And I'm afraid if I take out the stubbornness, I'll take out the conviction. And so I just sew myself back up and say, Lord, you operate as best you can. I do not know the secret. But I'm sure that somewhere near the top of the list, the answer is that for these almost 23 years, and God knows this is true, we have exalted the person of Jesus Christ from this pulpit. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We have exalted him from this pulpit and magnified the person of Jesus Christ. The whole world is lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory comes in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And that's what the world needs. I mean, if psychology would take care of the world's problems, the wolf and the lamb would be resting peaceably together this morning. I mean, if philosophy and education would solve the world's problems, then the swords and the spears would be plowshares and pruning hooks this morning. There's no way in the world, ladies and gentlemen, now follow me carefully, there's no way in the world that we, in the Lord's work, can compete with the works of Satan or the works of this world. Show me your disco, and I will say we have no way to compare with it. No way. There's no way that we can compare with the discos of the world. And it's silly for me to try to compete. Too many try to make the church somewhat of a spiritual disco, and that's silly. There's no way you can out-disco the world. Show me your Hollywood, and I will say, I have nothing to compare with it. Nothing. There's no need to try. I shall not try. That's one reason why I think that many churches have gone too far toward Hollywood music and Hollywood preaching and the glamour of Hollywood. We can't compete with that. And here at First Baptist Church, we have no intention to try. Show me your Broadways, and I'll say we can't compete with that. You show me your Times Squares, and I'll say no hope for us to compare with that. You show me your Wall Street, and I'll say our poverty cannot compare with those riches. You show me the heathen universities, and I'll say our Christian schools cannot compare with those buildings and those science labs and those football stadiums and those coliseums. There's no way we can compare with them. You show me your choreography of your performance, and I'll say we can't compare. And we got too much choreography going on anyhow in the Lord's work. Let's just let some good guy like Ed Wober stand up and sing It's Real and pray while he does it and love God with all his heart. We need to put on a show. You can't compete with the devil when it comes to putting on a show. No way in the world. None. We are foolish to try to compete with the devil because we can't defeat him on his own theater of battle or activity or performance. But we do have an attraction that the world cannot match. And since we have an attraction that the world cannot match, the best thing for us to do is emphasize that attraction without trying to compete with what attraction the world does have. You see, it's found in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, the disco can draw some men, but the cross draws all men.
Now, Hollywood can draw some men, but the cross draws all men. Now, Wall Street can draw some men, and Broadway can draw some men, and the theater can draw some men, and they can draw more men than we can draw in competition with them. The only way in the world we can outdraw the world is the cross. The world has nothing like that to offer. And that's why you're here this morning. I mean, we didn't announce this morning there's going to be a good choreographer. I love those big words, but a good choreographer come this morning. And we didn't announce that. No, these people up here, they go to choir practice like your church does, and they rehearse like your church does, and these are just good, solid folks like your folks are. I mean, we're not trying to compete with the heathen world, but there's one way or one place the world cannot compete with us. The world has no Savior on a cross. The world has no answer for forgiveness. The world has no redemption. And so we're a lot better off to stick with what we know the world cannot compete, and that is the cross. Now, when Jesus said upon this, he said, if I lift it up, will draw all men unto me. Somebody says, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the cross. If I lift it up from the earth, that's the cross. Like as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the cross. Somebody said, no. That's not the cross. He's talking about his resurrection. And if I be lifted up as the risen, living Christ, I'll draw all men unto me. Somebody said, no, it's not the cross. That's not the resurrection. He's talking about his ascension. If I be lifted up from the earth and go back to heaven in the ascension, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, which is true? All three are true. Our Lord is saying, and if I be lifted up from the earth on the cross, and if I be lifted up from the earth as a risen Lord, and if I be lifted up from the earth as the interceding high priest, I will draw all men unto me. Now, let's see those three things. First is the cross. Satan has nothing that can match it. Satan has not one single thing, and the world has nothing to compare with the cross. The uplifted Christ draws all men. Now, I'm talking right now, look at me, about the cross. I'm talking about the cross of Calvary. I'm talking about the cross of Golgotha. I'm talking about Jesus died for you. Now, listen carefully. We sing it. On a hill, sing it far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and thank you. Now, that has an appeal that the world knows nothing about. And right while I'm talking and right while we're singing, we sing, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. And you know what I know this morning? I have the authority of the Word of God that everybody in this room is being drawn to Jesus right now. That's what you feel. You say, what's here? What is that thing I feel? I feel a sudden burning in my soul. My heart is burning. My heart is beating faster. There's something. There are tears coming to my eyes. I don't know what. It's the magnetism of the cross. That's what it is. You want to draw folks to Jesus? You don't have to have a hoedown. You haven't got to have a Hollywood choir to come in and sing, I love the big daddy upstairs. You don't need that. Just lift him up. Lift him up. Lift high the cross. Right now, every person in this room is being drawn to Jesus, the businessman, guest. Right now, I'm talking about the cross, and you're being drawn to Jesus. You may not come to him, but you're being drawn to him right now. Motel maid, the fallen woman, the little bus child is being drawn to Jesus. Friday night, I was thinking about this message, and I knew what I was going to preach about today, and all of a sudden in my study, I began to shout, lift him up! Lift him up! Lift him up! Lift him up! I picked up my pen and wrote these words, lift him up, faithful preacher, thou echo of grace, that mortals may see his vicarious face. Lift him up quickly, and lift him up high, that all of his race may be magnetized nigh. Lift him up, gospel singer. Oh, sing of the cross. In the light of his scars, all the rest is but dross. Go tell the poor sinner that the penalty is paid. Bring it out clearly and don't be afraid to repeat Calvary's message again and again. Let its notes be redundant to poor fallen man. 'Tis the Lamb, not the King, you must introduce first. Let the cross, not the crown, be the theme of your verse. Lift him up, new believer, lift him high, while the flame of new childlike faith sheds its light on his name. Lift him up, lift him up, leave the drawing to him. Oh, lift him up quickly, lest your faith become dim. Oh, lift him up, as Moses did the serpent of brass, and lift him up now before his mercy is past. Oh, lift up the manger of Bethlehem's boy, but lift up the highest, his crucified joy. Lift him up, harried parent, so your children can view the crucified life Christ reflected in you. Lift him up in the classroom so the student can see. Lift him up to the sinner so he may see, can see the blessed tree. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him up, lift him up. Thwart the enemy's plans that he interrupt your mission in life to raise high the Lamb and show the whole world the everlasting I Am. Show the King of the earth with a cross for a throne and a crown full of thorns made by one of his own. O Jesus, my Lamb, let me climb up to thee. O crucify me there so the whole world can see. A crucified preacher, preach a crucified Lord in a crucified way from a crucified word. May I lift thee so high that all who will hear come to Calvary's cross and deposit each fear. And even in heaven I'll lift thee up there, so all the redeemed can in unison share the shouts of redemption. Praise the Lamb, the lifted up one, the eternal I Am. That's the answer. That's the answer. Lift him up, preacher, in the pulpit. Lift him up, teacher, in the classroom. Lift him up, coach, on the athletic field. Lift him up, musicians, at the instruments. Lift him up, choir, in the choir special. Lift him up, singer, when you stand to sing. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And that's the hope of the world, and that's your hope of redemption, coming to the Christ who said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Jesus the King may draw cheers. Jesus the healer may draw attention. Jesus the teacher may draw wonder. Jesus the man may draw admiration. Jesus the prophet may draw praise. Jesus the priest may draw gratitude. Jesus the servant may draw emulation. But Jesus the uplifted will draw all men unto himself. I can recall so vividly those childhood days. I grew up at the feet of an old-fashioned leather-lunged preacher. He never had his coat on when he finished the sermon, and sometimes barely had his shirt on when he finished the sermon. And I can hear, as I was a child, that tall man that was my pastor as a kid. I can see him and as I listen to him, I can so vividly remember my pastor preaching on heaven. I remember him telling about the place that has golden streets and gates of pearl. And Mrs. Johnson, the old lady that shouted so much while he'd preach, would stand up, start singing, "There's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see it afar." Sing it. "For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there." Sing it. "In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." And I remember the effect it had on me as a preacher talk about heaven. He'd talk about the glory, and the preacher'd sing, "Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day." I can recall so vividly my preacher. Oh, he'd preach on hell. Nobody preached on hell like that old man did. He scared me to death. And I'll never forget, oh, my soul. I remember one day he's preaching on the serpents in the wilderness. He said, "Serpents were everywhere." "Why?" He said, "Serpents were in the bathtub. And serpents were in this kitchen sink. And serpents were on the kitchen floor. And serpents were underneath the sofa pillows. And he said, and I remember he looked down and I had my feet lifted up. I sprayed serpents were on the floor. I can recall so vividly. I remember how he preached on hell. I recall how he preached on sin.
I remember how he preached on judgment. Oh, how he could preach on judgment. But my fondest childhood memories are of the old man standing up with tears streaming down his cheeks, preaching about Calvary. Oh, that had something in my little, did something in my little boyish mind. I always felt an added tingle when he told me that Jesus loved me, and he told me Jesus died for me, and he told me that Jesus paid the penalty for my sin in his own body on the tree. Lift him up! And as he'd lift him up on the cross, somehow it had a special ring that nothing else ever had. Lift him up. Lift him up. There's a second part of our tripod this morning. Not only lift him up as he died on the cross, but lift him up. The resurrected Christ lifted up from the world. I cannot match your disco, and I won't try. I wouldn't have it anyhow. I cannot match your Hollywood movies, and I won't try. You can have all of them. I cannot match your filthy soap operas in the afternoon. You can have them. I cannot match them. I won't try. I can't match your chorus lines, and I won't try. I can't match your Hollywood music, and I won't try. But I've got something you can't match. I've got an empty tomb to which I can point you this morning. It's been said so often, Mohammed can take you to a place and say, our leader's buried there. Mohammedans and the followers of Confucius can take you to a place and say, our leader's buried there. But we who follow Jesus Christ can take you to a little old place outside the northern wall of the holy city and wind our way down some stairs to a little garden there and point you to a little sepulcher. I can see it in my mind now. I've been there. He's not there. No, he's not there. No, we take you to the sepulcher outside. We don't say our leader's buried there. We say our leader was buried there, but up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph on his foes. We can say our leader was buried there. Somebody said, Mohammedan one day said to a Christian, said, trouble with you Christians is, says, you don't have a grave. The Christian smiled and said, the reason we ain't got no grave, we don't need no grave. Yeah, our leader is risen. The world can't match that. Oh, beloved friend, servant of God, don't you go home and try to build a choir full of choreography. Sounds like some disease, doesn't it? And I think it is. You don't have to go home and build an ensemble that wiggles like the Hollywood folks do. You have to do that. You haven't got to go home and try to copy the disco. I mean, you can't out disco the disco, out Hollywood to Hollywood, and you can't out Broadway the Broadway and Times Square the Times Square. But we have something. The Bible says when the devil fights Jesus, we only have one way we can lick him, and that is he has no uplifted Christ. He has no cross. He has no empty tomb. And then there's a third part of our tripod, and that is the ascension of our Lord. I cannot compete with Hollywood, and I will not try. I cannot compete with their singing, and I shall not try. But the Andrews sisters at their best, and Tennessee Ernie Ford at his best, and Bing Crosby on the best day ever had, can't compare to one of our deacons standing as he did a while ago and singing. So I prayed that God in earnest, not much caring what folks said. I was hungry for the blessing. My poor soul, it must be fed. It's real. It's real. They can't compare to that. They have nothing to compare with the cross. The Bible said the prince of this earth is judged. How? Jesus being lifted up. That's it. That's it. I can take you this morning to a place just up at the top of the Mount of Olives where they say our Lord lifted up his hands, ascended back to the Father. While I'm standing here today before you as my high priest, he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's pleading my case. He's my attorney and my mediator. Oh, I don't even know his name. Never heard of him, but they made a big fuss about some comedian. He used to be on Saturday Night Live. One of these days he was Saturday Night in Hell, but he used to be on Saturday Night Live. I never heard of the guy, honestly. But he died. Made a big to-do about it. Heroin and cocaine all mixed together. I can tell you a high the world can't give you. Say, what is that high? And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. If you want to defeat the devil, you do it with the lifted up Christ on the cross and the lifted up Christ from the tomb and the lifted up high priest ascending at the right hand of God. And I want you to notice two words here and I'll close. Unto me. I never noticed that till this week. Look at me now carefully and I'll close. I never noticed it till this week. Unto me. What does it mean? I checked it out. It means with myself. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men with myself. What does that mean? That means Jesus is drawing you to get upon the cross with him. This is not the day for crowns. It's the day for cross bearing. You folks from out of state, you won't stay here long. You'll hear me cursed. You won't mention my name often in Hamilton. Somebody say, yeah, he's a crook. You won't mention me very much in Hammond or walk up and down these streets very often, but you'll hear my name profaned. Why? I'll tell you why. Oh, the old, sing it, rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous, amen, affection for me, for the dear Lamb of God, for the dear Lamb of God. Shed his glory above. Yes, he did. To bear it to dark Calvary. Sing it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my troth is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. And then it says, to the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Now hear me now. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. The Lord says, if I've lifted up, I'm going to draw you. Not just draw you to come there at the foot of the cross. He said, I'm going to draw you to get up there on the cross and die to yourself and die to pleasure and die to selfishness and die to your own ambition and die with me, because the only way you can ever be raised with me is to die with me. He said, come on. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men with myself. That means I can get up with him on the cross. And I like that because I don't want him to suffer by himself. Oh, how many times have you and I felt the fevered brow of our little children, taken their temperature and found it was 105.5 at midnight at 2 o'clock. You could not get a hold of the doctor and you bathed the little child with rubbing alcohol to run the fever down, got cold water and gave him cold baths. And you felt the temperature and it was 105 still. And you got on your knees beside the little bed and said, oh God, if I could just take his place, if I could just suffer for. Jesus said that one time. He looked down and saw a fallen race and he said, if I could just take the place. You see, you and I can't, but he could. And he did. And because he died, you can now live. And because he became sin, you can become his righteousness. Why? Because of the cross. He offers you to be lifted up with him, crucified with him, be risen with him, and someday ascend to him. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up to the lonely widow rearing her children alone. Lift him up to the derelict stumbling down Skid Row looking for a little in the bottom of a bottle. Lift him up to the businessman who thinks he doesn't need anything. Lift him up to the serviceman away from home that needs something in his heart that's eternal. Lift him up to the deaf person back there who didn't hear the sound of the choir music this morning. Lift him up to the blind folks back here who wonder what this building looks like. Lift him up! Lift him up! To the mission men up here who stumbled into our mission in need of an encouraging hand and found scars in the hand that encouraged them. Lift him up! Lift him up! Lift him up! He who said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And right now you're feeling that drawing because he's been lifted up for the last 30 minutes. And you feel that drawing. Everybody in this house feels it right now. That little something that says, oh, the cross, oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. And that drawing is there. You've often thought about it, haven't you? You've often thought you'd like to be a child of God, haven't you? You've often thought you'd like to be one of that group that says, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, haven't you? You've often thought that. And that drawing you feel this morning, we know what it is. Bless God, we felt it one day too. Some faithful preacher stood with tears in his eyes, as I do this morning to you, and said, God loves you and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And one day we said, we put it off long enough. We said, no, long enough. We stood and said, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. In just a few moments, the choir is going to sing. And you're being drawn to Jesus right now. Oh, you said it's a persuasive personality. No. I've persuasively persuaded many times without lifting him up. Now, what you feel this morning is not a personality of some little preacher. What you feel this morning is not the influence of some little atmosphere, human-made, nor what you feel right now. It is the drawing power of the risen Christ, the crucified Christ, the ascended Christ, the one who was lifted up. In just a moment, the choir is going to sing. And I'd like for every one of you this morning who've never taken time to kneel at the cross. We used to sing that song, kneel at the cross. Bring every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus. We'll meet you there. And this morning, I'm going to ask every one of you way back in the balcony, all over the great sea of faces upstairs, every person in the rescue mission, every bus kid, every hungry soul, every businessman, every factory worker, every housewife who feels that drawing right now. And you know you feel. I know you do because the Lord said you would. Now, if I've been lifted up, I want you to leave your seat, and I want you to come toward the aisle that's nearest you, and I want you to find one of the seven sets of stairs we have and come down those stairs to the main floor and down these aisles. We have experts that can take the Word of God and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. And those on the lower floor, wherever you are, I want you to find the nearest aisle when we sing and let Jesus draw you. I guarantee you, take one step toward the aisle. He's got a lasso on you. He'll just roll you in. He'll just reel you in like a fish on the hook. All you got to do is bite. He'll take care of the reeling in. And you just come down these aisles and we'll show you the best news you ever heard. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Alas, and did my Savior bleed and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Slip out from your seat. Come down the aisle. Don't let embarrassment keep you from it. You won't be as embarrassed now as you will when you stand before God unprepared, before the entire universe. So come to Calvary. Come to Calvary. And let us show you the way to heaven. Shall we stand, please? The choir's going to sing. And as the choir sings, nobody will leave the service. Absolutely nobody. We dismiss the service at 12:30. We will today. I want every one of you this morning who's never taken time to receive Christ. If you don't want to join the church, okay. If you don't want to get baptized, okay. If you don't want to be a Baptist, okay. But come to Christ this morning. The choir will sing it. Slip out from your seat. Come toward the aisle, down the front. Explode down these aisles. Come on, as the choir sings. Come on, right.